I'm Chris Motes, and welcome to The Good Life.
Thanks for joining this episode. We're going to have a great conversation this episode with Kendall Bailey. She's got just a wonderful story of heroic sacrifice, of deferring treatment for her cancer, just out of respect for that unborn life in her womb. This is a really personal story, so I don't explore some of the really important ethical nuance that the Catholic Church has in its teaching. And I do just want to make clear, too, that the heroism that is involved in this story isn't, strictly speaking, a moral requirement in every case. The Catholic Church, just in her wisdom, has just a really rich tradition of nuanced, yet really, really important bioethical teaching. And as you're going to hear about in this case, some of the principles that would be really important would be principles of what we call double effect, where a death would be maybe foreseen but not intended. So there could be cases in which somebody would not make the same decision that Kendall made, and the death of a child could potentially result, and that wouldn't be unethical per se. I'm specifically looking at the ethical and religious directives, or a summary of those ethical principles that are applied by Catholic hospitals in the United States. If you want to zero in on where those are, you can look at ERD, that's Ethical and Religious Directive, number 47. So again, the ethical and religious directives, you can look at number 47. Just to kind of tease apart some of that, the bioethical nuance that, again, is really, really important. And again, as really just seek to live our Catholic faith with great love and charity, but also attentiveness to the importance of these ethical realities, anybody has any questions about bioethics ever, a great resource is the National Catholic Bioethics Center. They've got a hotline that anybody can call if you've got a particular but real ethical question that you need just really sound Catholic bioethicists to weigh in on and give you counsel. Again, you can go on the internet and look for the National Catholic Bioethics Center to get free ethical consultation on the ethics. Hope you enjoy my conversation with Kendall. Thanks, everyone. So friends, we've just been on a wonderful journey, kind of unpacking a lot of different stories of, as we say, love and loss. And today we're going to hear a story of really testing, of actually being confronted with cost to some of those values that we hold dear, especially those pro-life values. This episode, we're going to visit with Kendall Bailey. Kendall's a wife and mom joining us via Zoom today. And Kendall refused life-saving radiation to save her unborn baby. We're going to be really privileged to hear her testimony today. Kendall, thanks for joining us on The Good Life.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, and you're one of our remote guests. Sometimes we have people join us here in studio. Sometimes we visit over the phone or on Zoom. You're, I think, sitting in, as you said, the great state of Kentucky today. So thanks for joining over the internet. But you've got a South Dakota connection. I know you've got family here. So thanks for visiting with us as South Dakotans today. Maybe just to get started, Kendall, could you mind telling us a little bit about just who you are, your background, and your family life?
Yes. So I am a mama. I'm a wife. I am a proud patriot. And I really came onto the social media scene maybe 4 years ago when I was sharing my story of pro-life, but also when everything happened with COVID, I decided not to send my kids to school with masks. We refused that. We went to the Capitol and kind of protested that.
Sure.
And kind of overnight, people started following me and I just was being really vulnerable and authentic on my social media and found that people really wanted that.
Well, God bless you. And maybe just in case anybody's tuning in on a you know, podcast, if you're driving, don't look her up right now, but you want to share your kind of social media stuff in case people want to plug in real quick?
Yep. So my name on Instagram is Kendall_in_Kentucky.
Okay.
So Kendall in Kentucky. And I also have a clothing line that is designed for women exclusively. That is individuals with XX chromosomes. And that is called Pretty Little Patriot.
Gotcha. Hey, well, thanks for giving that plug real quick. But, you know, the reason we heard you on another podcast, a pro-life podcast, just sharing your story. And as I kind of, you know, alluded at the beginning, is our values that we hold and, you know, that motivate our decisions and political choices and life in community. Sometimes these values aren't always concretely tested, but there come these moments in life. And, you know, you just mentioned COVID, but COVID, I think, was a time of sort of testing for many people. And, you know, what do I really believe and where do I want to stand? But you've got just a really beautiful story of testing of your own pro-life values. Do you I don't know where the best place to start is with this story, because there's a lot to it. But I know you're married, and the story starts when you have one child, and yep. you didn't yet know. Maybe just start with, you know, how did you come to know that you're ill?
Starting there, I mean, my husband and I had our first child, Jack.
Yeah.
And he was little at the time. I think he was about 1.5, almost 2. And we went to dinner together. We were at I think it was a Johnny Carino's, and the waitress came over and said, "Can I get you more bread?" And I replied, "No, we're fine, but if you can just bring some more bread." And my husband leaned over to me and said, "You have not been hearing well. And I've noticed it over the past couple months. I'd really love for you to go to an ear, nose, and throat doctor." So we did. We scheduled an appointment with an ENT.
And what'd you learn at the appointment? What took place next?
When I went to an ENT, he discovered that I have otosclerosis, which is progressive deafness. Okay. So they had to do surgery on my stapes bone, which is the smallest bone in the human body. But while I was at that appointment, truly nothing had to do with another, but he said, "You know, I'm an ear, nose, and throat doctor. So before you leave, let me check your throat."
Yeah.
And he found a lump. It ended up being a baseball size lump that was not visible to the human eye. So I'm so thankful for my hearing loss so that I could discover that.
Wow.
And we had it biopsied, and we discovered it was cancer.
So at this point in time, though, you had one child already, but you didn't know you were pregnant. So there wasn't necessarily a connection or a tough decision. What kind of happens
right.
next in the story?
At that point, we just decided we need to have surgery, and surgery was a full thyroidectomy. So that's when we scheduled that. And it was the night before we scheduled the night before my scheduled full thyroidectomy, my husband came home with a pregnancy. We were pregnant with our other child who we had a miscarriage with. Mm. And so I took the pregnancy test. Normally, any woman would be anxiously waiting to see what it was. I truly believed I so was not pregnant, because this was the 1 month we couldn't be. I went upstairs and I tucked our son in and came back down. And sure enough, we were pregnant.
Yeah. And so what did that mean in terms of next steps with your medical treatment for this cancer that you discovered?
Yeah, I mean, it was scary, but we knew that God had a plan. Yeah. We immediately picked up the phone. This was around 9 o'clock at night, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Picked up the phone, called my anesthesiologist and called my surgeon. They both said, "We can adjust anesthesia to make sure that you and baby are okay, and we can go forward with the surgery."
Okay, so you had the surgery. You know, I think one of the things that people worry about with cancer is that, you know, there's going to be a spread, or, you know, sometimes people start talking about things like radiation or chemotherapy that can in fact be really harmful or deadly to baby. What were the details in your own case?
So I woke up from my surgery, and actually the first thing I did, I was still loopy from drugs. And the first thing I did was I told my doctor, I said, "You saved my life, and I want to call your mom and thank her."
Yeah.
And he was like, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "No, get her on the phone." And I called his mom, and I just thanked her for what a blessing her son was. Because one of the things that I didn't mention was I'm laying on the table getting ready to be pulled back for surgery, and he and his team lay hands on me and they pray over me before this surgery. And I'm telling you, God was so present in that moment. He was so present in that room. After I had kind of recovered from my loopiness and all my anesthesia and woken up from that, he did share with me that the cancer had spread and that I would need radiation. It was at this point that my husband and I were faced with the choice of, do we abort our baby and focus on my health, or do we wait and risk my health, but trust that God has a plan for me and God has a plan for this baby. We believed that Even if he just saved me, but he didn't save our child, or even if he saved our child and my life wasn't spared, God is still good.
Yeah.
God is still blessing our lives. And we just felt like it wasn't our choice to make.
Sure.
So we put it in God's hands, and we decided to go full term with Presley. I gave birth to her at 9 months, beautiful baby girl.
Yeah.
And then if you have any breast milk in your body when you do radiation, the radiation will attack your breast milk and not the cancer. So I breastfed her for 2 months, went through a process that took about a month to rid my body of all of the breast milk.
Sure.
And then I started radiation. I left our sweet newborn baby girl with my husband, and he was with baby and our son Jack, and I did radiation.
And
after 72 hours, I was finished with it.
Okay. I want to go back to this conversation, I presume with an oncologist or, you know, some other medical doctor. How is the choice, or maybe it's not presented as a choice, how is sort of the treatment protocol presented in a situation like this where they're talking about, you know, your own health and well-being, but you, and I presume the doctors also knowing that there's another life involved. How does that go?
I think it's different with every doctor.
Sure.
We were blessed to have a doctor who was a believer.
Yeah.
Who believed that my life and my child's life had purpose. And we also have to remember that abortion never saves lives. It always takes a life. And so there are situations when people say, you know, it's what about in a case when a mother's life is in danger?
Yeah.
Well, killing the baby would not have rid my body of cancer.
Sure.
It would just have given me
a
dead child.
Yeah.
And so we felt like we need to do whatever we can to focus on my health and babies simultaneously.
Sure.
And that was the path that we took.
Wow. Well, it's really, I mean, I don't want to be sort of exaggerating here, but it's heroic. So I just want to honor you for that decision. It's truly heroic.
Thank you. I think when you're in the moment too, you feel like it's God.
Yeah.
You know, I think as a believer, it's so easy to say, well, you know, attribute it to him. I think also what we need to remember is there are some people who've messaged me and said, that's so great for you,
yeah,
but the same thing didn't happen for my wife.
Sure.
And my heart aches for that person. My heart goes out to that person. But I think we also need to remember that God doesn't see our day in little puzzle pieces. He
yeah.
sees our life planned out all as one giant picture.
Sure.
And while we don't know what's going to happen, we know that he knows and he's taking care of us.
Can you share, this is a little, forgive me if it's a little personal and feel very free to pass, but just the conversation with your husband after that first meeting with the oncologist or whoever it was that presented, you know, possible treatment and risks and all that. Was that a hard conversation? Was it, you know, what were the emotions going on then?
I'd love to say it was such an easy choice,
yeah,
because I grew up in a household where my mom was a strong advocate of pro-life and
yeah.
went around speaking to people about it before that was like even a thing.
Yeah.
And my dad was strongly pro-life. And so I was raised in this household that was just what we did.
Sure.
But it was definitely scary. It was absolutely scary. There
yeah.
were tears and there were lots of questions of what's going to happen. We had a lot of people around us in our church community and our friends group that were praying for us and praying over us.
Sure.
But again, I think we went back to God's promise that he would take care of us, that he would provide for us. And he did, and he does.
Yeah. So I want to ask, this is maybe a hard question, Kendall, but you know, you and I both have a relationship with the Lord. So let's imagine though, a listener who that's maybe a foreign experience. It doesn't register. They weren't raised with faith. They maybe don't have faith. And maybe the objection is, well, that's nice. That's nice for you. And it turned out okay. But how would we present, you know, a really hard decision like this to somebody who's wrestling with the very real, natural, raw emotions that humans are going to experience of fear and, you know, what's going to happen. Somebody who, you know, you've been contacted by people, it didn't work out in the same way for them. How can we communicate with somebody like that maybe? Any thoughts or wisdom? Sorry, I know it's a tough question.
I would say I'm sending you a giant hug.
Mm.
And to a lot of my followers, like, reach out to me. I'd love to pray with you
yeah.
personally, because it is such a different experience for every person.
Yeah.
As far as the topic of abortion goes,
yeah,
nowhere in our Constitution do we have the right to take an innocent life.
Sure.
I don't believe that we should punish a child for the sins of his father.
Yeah.
I think we need to go after the father. So in the case of rape, and people are saying, but you
yeah.
know, how, why can you imagine putting your child through that.
Yeah.
Well, no, but yeah. If your child gets an abortion, it doesn't take away the pain
yeah.
and the horrible act that happened of rape.
Yeah.
What I can't imagine is telling my child, we're going to go kill my grandchild today.
Sure, sure.
And that's a whole nother list of options that happens. I don't believe the way in which a child is conceived determines his or her right to life.
Yeah.
And so I think when we're talking about life as a whole,
yeah.
life is beautiful.
Amen.
And I think it's, while the decision for me was so easy, walking it was hard.
Sure.
So we made a clear-cut decision, my husband and I did, on that day, that hour. We said,
yeah.
this baby has a purpose.
Yeah.
But it was the daily walk of what's going to happen now.
Sure.
And thankfully, when you're pregnant, I've heard that there are these hormones surging in your body that can help ward off cancer,
sure.
which is another thing that was such a blessing. But it's scary. And if you don't have the hope and the faith of Jesus Christ, then it can be scarier. And so I think it's really important to surround yourself with individuals who again, believe that both of you have a life that's valuable.
Yeah. And I mean, I think too, that's very beautifully put, you know, that the value and dignity of every human life isn't dependent upon the circumstances of their conception or other sort of conditions of their life, but it's actually inherent. But even this reality too of death and suffering, that a relationship with the Lord doesn't necessarily take those things away from us, that suffering is a part of the world, and we will all die, whether sooner or later. But actually, there's just a relationship with the Lord gives is peace and even meaning within that. And you testify so beautifully, Kendall, just to your community that sort of bore you up within this time of trial. Do you want to share a little more about, I don't know, just the ways in which you've kind of leaned on others?
Well, and let me say this too. I want to go back to your point of, you know, when you have a relationship with Christ, you know, it's not like all suffering goes away. It's almost like there's more.
Yeah.
Because now Satan knows there is a warrior in this battle.
Sure.
And if there are people that aren't in it, they have no skin in the game. Satan's like, oh, I'm content. Like, you're not going to do anything for his kingdom.
Yeah.
But for people who are fighting for God's kingdom,
yeah.
I think the weight can almost be more.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to surround yourself with individuals who are like-minded.
Yeah.
My husband and I really lean into our Bible study that we have. We both have parents who are believers
yeah.
and friends who lift us up. And I think starting your morning every day with the Bible,
yeah.
and for some people it's hard, like, where do I start?
Sure.
I love opening Jesus Calling, which is a book that can kind of give you a little caption
sure.
of, you know, hope for the day, and then a couple Bible verses below. And we do that every day with our kids, because I think it is good to get your mind focused and have that hope going into every single day. Because even if you're like, hey, I checked everything off my box today, I'm good for, you know, troubles are done for today.
Yeah.
You start all over tomorrow. So every day needs to have that fresh start.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is Christians and non-Christians, but sometimes we can be tempted to think like, well, the meaning of Christianity is to take away, you know, to make me happy or to sort of take away. In fact, there is a real joy that comes through faith, but the point isn't to take away suffering. It's to actually elevate our suffering in a way that is united with the cross of Christ and his action, his love, ultimately, for us and for all humans.
Well, and how beautiful is it that, yeah, we get that every day renewed with him.
Yeah.
I think that In a world where we have no pain and suffering, that's idyllic, that's heaven, and that's
yeah.
where we're going. But I think when we're here, how beautiful is it that we have these trials,
yes.
these tests that can be turned into a testimony, these messes that can be turned into a message.
Yeah,
I think if I had just taken this story of Presley and never done anything with it, then it doesn't glorify his kingdom. But if we can take a message and send it out to the world and use it for his good, then it's a completely different story that we're writing. And I think you can either, you know, have it weigh you down and woe is me, or you can use it for so much good to touch so many people's lives.
Yeah, Yeah. I want to turn back to something that you had said earlier, Kendall, was just your husband and your conviction that God had a plan for this child. God created this child, knew this child, loved this child, and there's a plan. You want to unpack that conviction a little more, where this conviction comes from and what its implications might be, especially now that Presley is growing and you get to mm-hmm. see personality unfold and the uniqueness of that life.
Yeah. God tells us that he knit us together in your mother's womb, and he knew us before we were formed. He knows every hair on our head. And I think that as Christians, that verse can be so, oh, I've heard it before. But when you really unpack that, the creator of the universe calls you by name, knows you by name, loves you unconditionally. And it's such a beautiful gift when we think of unconditional love. I mean, God does not make mistakes. And in a world that is so pushing this gender ideology and that you were born in the wrong body, it's such a smack in the face to our creator to say, that's not, you know, God created you wrong and you should change everything about you. You are beautifully made. And when we go to school every day with our kids, we say, I am kind, I am confident, I am beautiful, and I am a child of God. And I truly believe those things about my children. And I think starting our day with daily affirmations is key. But as we watch Presley grow, she is, I mean, I know everybody loves their kids. We have three of them. We love them all dearly. But Presley is so kind and so tenderhearted. And I know it has something to do with she has such a big purpose in this world because her story started when she was in the womb.
Yeah.
And I want everybody listening to know that their life has purpose. And whether you found out that purpose or not, your life has purpose. Your life has meaning. And God wants to do something with you.
Yeah. So as you've shared your story publicly, you mentioned just briefly earlier of kind of hearing from somebody that had an experience of suffering, you know, this was good for you, but it didn't work out that way for me. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing from others too that have their own stories, either similar or even giving feedback on your story?
Yes. I mean, I've heard from, there's a whole community, I feel like, who's come out and said, you know, I was contemplating this, I'm no longer, or I had the exact same experience. I've heard of a lot of people actually who've reached out to me who were conceived in rape and who have, and again, my story is not a story about rape, but so often that's the story that people talk about when it comes to abortion. And they've reached out to me and said, thank you so much for choosing life. Thank you for being a voice for these people. Yeah. You know, I was conceived in rape and my mom chose life for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a beautiful thing. Again, yeah, the way in which a child is conceived does not determine his or her right to life. And I think so often our society is pushing that you can have, not only can you have sex, but you should with multiple people at multiple times. And it's so fulfilling, and it's not. I feel like sex is made to be in the context of marriage, and it's a beautiful thing when it is. And so for any of the listeners, I would say, you know, that's something that's treasured and that's something to be held sacred. And unless you're wanting to have a child, then, you know, you shouldn't be doing that.
Well, even just raising, you know, the concept of abstinence is something that a lot of people today, especially if they're not churched, they're never presented with that idea.
Right. It's like not an option. I remained abstinent until our wedding night.
Yeah.
And it was the greatest gift that I could give my husband. But a lot of people say, well, you know, your kids are going to have sex. And for our in our home, we just hold our children to a higher standard. I don't think my children are going to have sex until they're married, because we've told them not only the consequences of what happens, but how beautiful it is when you wait and how incredible sex is when it's between a husband and a wife. Think of the respect that you're giving your future spouse when you say no to your current partner. The fact that, you know, you're saying, I'm not going to have sex with you because I'm going to honor my future spouse that much.
Yeah.
And we often use the analogy with our kids. We put a piece of tape on their arm and you rip off the piece of tape and see that there's so much skin and hair that comes with it. And then when you go to stick it down again, it doesn't stick as well.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with relationships. When you give yourself to someone like that, the next person not only doesn't get you fully, but they're also getting, you know, the hurt and the damage from all these other situations and all these other people.
Yeah. And that in fact is not, I mean, that's a great image for, if anybody out there is interested in like sort of some of the social science and the studies that back that up, the Institute for Family Studies, I think associated with the University of Virginia, does really great work, back that all up. We've got a couple minutes left. Just to kind of wrap up our conversation. I want to close on a note of, I know it's not, forgiveness is, I mean, your story is one of heroism, of really making a beautiful choice to delay radiation for the sake of your unborn child. But there are also people out there that maybe they, you know, we had this talk about abstinence. Maybe they didn't make that choice. Is forgiveness possible and sort of starting fresh and beginning anew?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My best friend and business partner is Lindsey Graham, not the senator, but she's known as the Patriot Barbie on social media. And she has a beautiful story of how she had an abortion. Mm. And I'd love to have her on your show, but how she deeply regrets it, but has forgiven herself and has asked for forgiveness from the Lord and has received that. And again, goes on to take something that is a real mess and has turned it into the most beautiful message. But absolutely, forgiveness. I mean, Jesus's work on the cross covers all of our sins.
Amen.
And I truly believe that Jesus is sitting in heaven holding Lindsay's sweet baby until she can be reunited with him.
Amen. Yeah, so very, very well put. We'd love to connect with Lindsay and see if it'd work out. You've been listening to The Good Life. I've been visiting with Kendall Bailey. We've been just unpacking her own story of choosing to delay radiation treatment for the sake of her unborn child, and just a beautiful story of heroism. So Kendall, thank you for joining us on The Good Life.
Thank you.
And to all of our listeners out there, don't forget, we are in September. Early voting in the state of South Dakota starts here in, I think, just less than a week. You can get those absentee ballots. We are in the run-up to the November 5th election. There are going to be, I think, 7 total constitutional amendments and ballot measures on the ballot. The bishops of South Dakota have taken positions against 2 of them. IM-29 is recreational marijuana, and Amendment G is extreme abortion up to birth. Vote no on both of those. You can learn more at sdcatholicconference.org. And to all of our friends and neighbors, thanks for tuning in. I'm Chris Motes. Thanks for joining us on this episode of The Good Life.